Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I didn't get one communication on this yesterday. I got two, and I got a couple in the previous week. People contacting me and people of reputation and position and communication, and they are telling me, Dave, there's going to be an alien exposure. And I'm always quick to point out, no. It's not ETs in the Hollywood sense. Nanu, nanu, take me to your leader. That's not what this is. This is the Great Deception. And you've got fallen angels, demonic hybrids that are imitating the ETs. But I'll report this as ETs not to play a game, but just to show people how this is progressing. And I'm going to go through a brief history, and this is going to be a multi-part series I'm going to do, and I'm going to spread it out over time because this could be the story of the millennia. This could be the biggest story since the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the cleansing of our sins potentially. This is huge, people. This is bigger than Somalia, which is big, and the Somalian fraud in Minnesota. This is bigger than TPUSA, although that TPUSA story is bigger than Somalia because of all the spinoff implications that we have if we place our trust in an organization and we're not sure about it. At least I'm not sure. But this is the biggest story. And my reason for going down this road is it's not for sensationalism or popularity or clickbait, as people like to say. I don't want people to be deceived because in the end days, the Revelation says it very clearly, even the elect will be deceived. So I'm going to give an introductory piece to the whole concept today and acting like my audience knows very little to nothing about this. And then I'll add to this. Now, I will tell you, my knowledge comes from very, very good sources. Unfortunately, I have some NDA restrictions. Oh, just ask Candace about those. As I used to go to the Bill Pollack meetings, and we didn't NDA everything, but when we had high profile people and they disclose things, I can talk subject matter. I can't relate to anything that would identify the person. Even I found out even in their death, I can't do that. And I'm going to honor that. We have a situation that needs examination because a lot of the handling of the ET issue, I believe, is under demonic control. And I'm going to get into that after the break. We are brought to you by the best weight loss product that's out there without the side effects. And I'm talking to you about the BioTrust product called GLP-1. And these levels in your body get elevated naturally, but it's through capsule, not through injections. And the injections from the previously used or currently used diabetic medication is coming with some side effects now, according to the data. And I'm not going to make this product better by demeaning the other, but I'm just saying I think you need to weigh all your options here. Now, let me go through the scientifically established through research studies that this product boosts your GLP-1 levels by over 50%, 20% reduction in caloric intake. So it's an appetite suppressant, 14% average body weight reduction in 12 weeks. You can go here to trimwithdave.com and see the testimonials. But here are actually more results from research, and then more results from research. And then you see the kind of research you click on this. I think you could see just how amazing the research is here. And the amazing thing to me is, despite all the data that backs up this product, they give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. They're giving you 44% off. This is the time. And don't give up on your New Year's resolution to lose weight. It's right here sitting in front of you. Go to trimwithdave.com. That's trimwithdave.com. Well, let's trim down the fat on this story. And let me start somewhat at the beginning. And I'm talking the somewhat. In 1947, there was the crash near Roswell, New Mexico. Actually, there were supposedly two of them. And at first, we admitted, hey, we got these crashed discs, flying saucers. It was in the paper. And the very next day, the Department of War came back and no, not so fast. And so they corrected it. It says, oh, no, it's a crashed weather balloon. And that, that actually could have been true because we did have those programs up there because we didn't have satellites and we wanted to detect possible Soviet Union upper atmospheric nuclear testing. But we did not know in 47 if they had the bomb, didn't have the bomb. Turned out they didn't get it until the 50s because of the Rosenbergs or Mr. Rosenberg. Mrs. Rosenberg was innocent, but that's okay. Her husband was guilty, so let's execute her too. But I digress. Let's get right down to it here. 1947, in the aftermath of this, some amazing things started happening. One was the creation of the CIA. Now, it was basically the OSS from World War II, top level intelligence, rolled into the CIA. And the OSS was permeated with cooperating Nazis. The same kind of ones that my dad worked with in debriefing theoretical physics in the late 50s and through the early 60s. And you had Wernher von Braun, a Nazi who launched two-stage rockets and killed children and women and hit churches. And yet he's allowed to go to work in NASA and not be tried as a war criminal? Are you kidding me? Well, I guess they could, Germans would say, well, you had Dresden and you burned out the city. Yeah, okay, good point. But Wernher von Braun, really? But the Nazis permeated the OSS. They became the CIA and their tactics were carried over. It's that simple. And it hasn't changed today. They've just become more refined. So the creation of the CIA was notable and it was in response to Roswell. We have to manage the intelligence of what we have found. The second thing that we know that developed out of that was the creation of the Air Force. We had the Army Air Force, which was a division of the Army in World War II. So your bombardiers and Jimmy Stewart and all those people, brave men in which they had 50% casualties, they were actually part of the Army Air Corps. Now they became the Air Force. Well, if you're dealing with aerial phenomena that you're not really sure about, or you are and you want to cover it up, the Air Force has to be in on it with the CIA. That's not an accident. They were created at the same time. And then you have to have a communications management agency for intelligence, and that would be the NSA. And it was so secret. I mean, people didn't even mention this in whispers until we got to the 70s and 80s. In fact, my good friend Vance Davis, who I'll be interviewing at the end of this month, Vance was a member of the NSA, been a friend of mine now for, I think, 34 years. And he's going to have some amazing revelations on the show. And we're going to talk about a couple of books he's written, which are earth-shattering. One of them is interesting and fun. The other is earth-shattering. So Vance was a part of that. And I learned a lot about this movement. I also learned about it from my dad. The NSA was so secret because they're the repository of intelligence about this very sensitive topic, that they became known as the No Such Agency. Shh. Don't you dare talk about it. NSA, No Such Agency. So those three elements came out of this, and out of this came the evil people like Alan Dulles, who we've implicated with the JFK assassination. And there are some people, and I'm telling you, Linda Moulton Howe, who I think is a very credible source, claims she was told by insiders trying to silence her that, hey, Linda, this happened to JFK. Do you really want to keep going down this path? And I saw something recently with the Y-Files. Great job on that. The same thing was said, but in a different way. I don't know how much of a factor that was. I do think it was somewhat of a factor, and I'll get into that at a later time. But those were the elements that started this. But we got to even go back further in time. It's the concept of technology that we need to keep secret. So as we have crashed craft, and I maintain that these ain't aliens that we're dealing with. These are fallen angels that don't have to use craft, but do to create the illusion of the coming great deception. And I believe they crashed their craft for some technology transfer, and then to open up communications with our government, like Eisenhower at Vandenberg Air Force Base in the 50s. And before that, President Truman allegedly, and the evidence is growing by the year as more and more leaks occur, MJ-12 created by Truman, top 12 people to basically deal with this issue and keep it as secret as possible. And the understanding of the agreement was this: we'll abduct so many people and snatch DNA, and they did that from cows and abductees. And that was Linda Moulton's Howe first claim to fame, was about the cow mutilations that were going on. It was absolutely phenomenal work she did. And if you're wondering, why would they extract DNA? Because, as I said yesterday, if you're building a hybrid army, this is something I think is really, it needs to be considered. If you're building a hybrid army to fight the last battle at Armageddon against the return of Jesus and the angels in the Battle of Armageddon, you need to have numbers. And these are about numbers. And I used to dismiss this as fantasy, and I'm no longer dismissing this as fantasy. Women abducted, they somehow are impregnated, they're reabducted, and the embryo is taken. I know Professor Mack, before his death, was talking a lot about this, a former Harvard psychiatrist. And I'll tell you, there's a Harvard study out there right now, too, and I'm in the process of deciphering it, but they're claiming these hybrids could be living among us. I agree. But the hybrids aren't extraterrestrial. They're from Genesis 6, verse 4, the fallen angels, and they saw earth women and mated with them. And then in verse 5, it says, and they were there afterwards, meaning those genes survived. And so there is a hybridization of this. So we're going back in time now to Tesla. The day is December 31st, 1899, and Tesla sent electricity without wires from Colorado Springs to the Capitol Hill area of Denver, which is basically near the Capitol on Colfax Avenue. And he lit up an area. Whoa. And all of a sudden, the people, the darling jet set entrepreneurs like Westinghouse and so he's our boy. He's the darling scientist. And this is after he came off. He was the guy that really gave Edison the light bulb. Edison wanted DC. Tesla said AC. Edison says, no, 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 no. This is America, Washington, DC. This is DC. And then when he fired Tesla and he went his own way, all of a sudden Edison said, that isn't working now because I'd have to have a power plant on every block. So maybe we should do AC and I'll take all the credit and get the patent. Tesla was later booted out of the being the establishment scientist. And reason why is because he said, I can bring you free energy. You don't need to have these wires. No, if we can't put a meter on it and charge for it, we don't want to do it. So out he goes, and he's taken into the Navy as a researcher, where he developed radar, sonar, and interestingly, television. And then there's the infamous Philadelphia experiment. And it was designed on a number of fronts. Can we make something impervious to an attack? So here comes an incoming artillery shell towards a ship, and we can blink it out, which means go to a different dimension. It passes harmlessly through, and then we blink back in. But the Philadelphia experiment was a horrible failure in that it's not that it didn't blink out, but we didn't calculate what the effect would be on human beings. And when the craft reassembled, there were men stuck in bulkheads and all kinds of other graphic things I'm not going to describe. But you can use your imagination to know it was not good. But it didn't stop the secret agencies from wanting to experiment more. And I believe this is 1943, 4 years before CIA, Air Force, and NSA creation. Tesla continued his work. And then upon his death in the 50s, the FBI descended upon his apartment. Some people think he was murdered. I have no evidence to support that. But they descended upon his apartment and they grabbed his 70-some boxes, and they're still classified. Actually, his death was in the 40s. I'm sorry. I don't understand that. Shouldn't we have progressed so far now that his work would be irrelevant? But it's still classified. And then there was a bifurcation of science. Tesla's work opened up free energy, which basically is quantum, versus Newtonian physics, which is three-dimensional. So you have multidimensional physics, best described by Michio Kaku as superstring theory. And then you have three-dimensional physics that we learn in school. The quantum model's coming in, but not to the level that it was known to Tesla. And that's for a reason. And some people are saying, and I have a family member who told me this is where we got it. We got it from these beings. Some of it was reverse engineering a crashed craft, which I maintain was deliberate, and I'll get to that in a little while. And then some of it came about after the reverse engineering. We did our own work and built upon what we had discovered. And honestly, too, if you have never come across the work of Philip Corso, Corso, you should. Most credible account about transfer technology from whatever these beings are to us. And that was the basis of the agreement that led to MJ-12. We'll give you this, said the creatures. And Truman said, okay, but we also want to abduct a certain amount, but won't go over this amount. And they violated it terribly. Yeah. Thank you very much, Truman, for making your people cattle in exchange. They needed the DNA. This is why they made the deal. MJ-12 is really interesting too. You had Forrestal. You know who he was? He was Secretary of War. You know what he didn't want to do? Keep it secret. And he was on MJ-12. And he died by committing suicide, jumping out of the 16th floor building. He wouldn't get on board. So I think you know what I think happened to him. So this has been highly controversial, and a lot has gone in to keep this secret. And I don't know what's happened to MJ-12 since this time. I know the organization exists, but the names morph and so forth and so on. And how international is it now? I've heard it's become more international than just American. It was 12 Americans, and you'd have MJ-1, that would be the lead guy, and then you would have the 11 following. And there are some documents out there that could be true, might not be true, but let's put it this way. This was the most classified thing ever, ever. And so we start NASA, and NASA stands for Never a Straight Answer. Yeah, it's why it was created, is a deception. You say, wait a minute, they went to the moon. Well, probably they did, but that's not my point. They went to the moon with Newtonian physics when we fully knew quantum physics. And we were far enough along to jump into space and traverse vast distances if we could have preserved life within that environment and arrive somewhere that would have taken us forever to travel to. So going to the moon would have been, well, we're there. Be like stepping out of a chair. We didn't have to use three-dimensional physics. And there was an event that happened. And I'll tell you, some of the early NASA scientists and mostly the astronauts, the Gemini or the Mercury 7, and Gus Grissom, who died an interesting death. Oh, it was cast as an accident. I'll just say this, at some of those meetings I was at with NDA, we were told quite clearly it was no accident. that some of the people, because of their scientific background that were astronauts, knew about the technology of Tesla and wonder why we were staying on this archaic and primitive path. And one of them became very vocal. And then there were two collateral deaths with the one. So, you can go back and look at the account as it's described and make your mind up. But I can tell you the consensus of the meeting I was in when I heard this discussed, and I was certainly at that point just an observer, I can tell you there was no question in the minds of the people telling the story of what happened. And these people were very high up and very involved. All right. So, so I'm trying to be careful not to trip over my words here. The other thing that we look at here is that CERN is quantum, the super collider is quantum. We're doing quantum stuff all over DARPA. If they don't have a time travel machine, they're this close. And in fact, I had this discussion with a scientist yesterday and another one about, oh, 5, 6 days ago. Everything is set up now for the Great Deception. The Great Deception comes out of what they would call Project Bluebeam. It's something my father even knew about. And I asked him about it. And he says, well, be careful because in the future, because we, well, here's the discussion how it went. He told me that they asked, his team asked the German scientists, where did you get this advanced theoretical physics? How'd you get so far ahead of us? And they said, well, we got it from aliens. And my dad started questioning, did you, the aliens, did you ever meet them? And they did polygraph on them for this. And the answer was truthfully answered, well, no, we didn't, but our commanders did. True statements. Who were your commanders? We think they're all killed, but we don't know. Well, as I said before in the past, this is where Vance Davis, my friend, comes in. He was tasked with doing the same thing we know the Germans did, get technology from occultic sources. That's where it came from. That's what my dad believed. But he also warned me about something. And the year is 1985. And he said, if we start to see the wonders from heaven, oh, does that sound biblical? It sure as heck is. It sure is biblical. Because in Luke 21, verse 11, it says, there'll be fearful signs from the heavens before the second coming. And this is what he's referring to. And there'll be a fake alien invasion designed to put the government under one source. And he says, I believe it will not be a friendly source. And at that time, he actually thought the CIA was going to rule the world. He hated the CIA, and they were in constant competition for knowledge from these scientists, German scientists. And he said, don't be deceived. And he actually pulled out Luke 21:11 and said, this is, and then we went through all the scripture, and I'll do this at a later part, that, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities of darkness. And I believe that's what Ephesians 6, yeah, it's Ephesians 6:12. And so I was warned about this a long time ago, and it just stayed dormant because there was nothing to indicate. But here's why I know we're getting close. And this is where I'll pull together part one and end it here. We had Project Blue Book under Alan Hynek. And Alan Hynek was really a good guy. He was a professor at University of Colorado, and he was asked by the government, were coerced by the government to carry out UFO investigations because the sightings were everywhere and abduction stories were appearing in the 60s. And they came up, and I felt sorry he had to do this ridiculous stuff of professor saying, no, all the stories are all swamp gas. Oh no, it was the planet Venus. And just digress for a minute, the Betty and Barney Hill issue caught my attention as a young kid. There was a huge article in the Denver Post about Betty and Barney Hill's abduction. And what was interesting is Betty was able, from the information she got from the so-called ETs that I maintain are fallen angels, of a distant constellation they had made the claim that they came from. And she remembered it and she wrote it down. And it wasn't until after Betty's death did Hubble discover this constellation exactly as she had drawn it. Well, you got a problem when you're trying to cover this stuff up. And so we had denial, denial, denial. I remember they even had a network series. I don't remember the network, and I think it was called Project Blue Book, but it was the Air Force would go around and investigate all these UFO sightings. And they would leave it as a mystery so as not to seem to be too sarcastic or too much in denial. And I think the series lasted 1 year, but it was a complete PR attempt to suppress the truth. And now we're in an age where we get Representative Anna Paulina Luna going on the PBD podcast and saying, and I quote, "Oh, there are aliens. Yes, they are ETs and they're interdimensional, but quote, I can't say any more because it's classified." Okay, that's a deliberate plant. That's called desensitization to the public that, hey, there is something here, folks. Congressional testimony, all from intelligence officers. Isn't that interesting? Now, it's managed content, but nonetheless, it's part of a desensitization plan to get you used to the idea. So when they land at the White House lawn or however it's going to be announced, you don't have the proverbial poop in your pants moment. And this is what's going on right now. And this is where I go back to Project Bluebeam. And we are going to see events from on high that are going to capture your imagination. And I'm going to end this with a warning anecdote that I just mentioned the other day. The Twilight Zone episode, To Serve Man. Just briefly, if you haven't seen it, aliens come with works of wonders. Everything's wonderful for 3.5 years. And are you talking about tribulation, Dave? Yes, I am. And everything's wonderful for 3.5 years. And then their little cookbook for the Canaanites is revealed, and they're coming to Earth to feast on humans. Now, I don't know that that's the instance here, but beware of this kind of persona coming with great works of wonder, and the world will be deceived. And of course, don't forget about the assassination where the Antichrist revives from what appears to be certain death. I'm laying this out so you're not deceived because the Bible says even the elect will be deceived. Well, what's going to deceive us? Okay, well, other religions outside Christianity, that's not going to deceive us. People can try to take away Christianity, but it'll still survive. Look at the Roman persecution and the disciples. Despite the massive crucifixions of our disciples, including the Lord Jesus Christ, the religion prospered. Can't kill it. Can't kill the religion. The Lord says, wherever two or more gathered my name, I'll be there. Can't kill the religion. Can't kill Christianity. Can't kill the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Trinity. Can't kill it. But you can deceive it. And I'm giving you this because I don't know if it's 6 months next year, but there are people when I used to talk about this, who, oh, I don't know, Dave, some of the stuff you say is pretty interesting and good, but I don't know about this. Well, now I'm getting people calling me and they're telling me, I think disclosure is coming. And I'm quick to point out, it's not taking the form that you'll think. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time. Thanks for joining us. Hey, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we pride ourselves on being the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And because we're on all digital outlets, you'll find a lot of our content valuable. I mean, our YouTube channel's grown by over 1 million in 28 days. And so take advantage of this. Share. Let's wake people up. You know, this channel exists to make you healthier, wealthier, and wiser. And that's our only intent. And we're not owned by anybody. You're looking at the owner. So I don't behold. And we're going to get some info today on crypto from one of the sources. And I think it's time we brought this in. Now, you know, it's my contention, ladies and gentlemen. We're sitting on bargain basement lows right now that are artificially created so the wealthy can buy it up. And then it's going to explode. And as I told our guest, Guy Gottschalk, before we went on air, President Trump strongly endorsed crypto at the World Economic Forum speech he delivered a couple of days ago. So anyway, well, welcome Guy to the show. Guy, it's great to have you back. And this is Certainly, it's working out to be one of the mysteries about what's happening with crypto. President's on board. He talked about legislation he's introduced. It's an exciting time. And so let's start with the low crescendo and work our way up, okay? So anyway, how does the dollar's expected weakness this year or micro factors create a case for Bitcoin as a macro hedge? And I'd like you to explain those terms and then jump into that concept.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, by the way, and congratulations on the million views added to your viewership. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I think it's interesting. Liquidity is going up right now, and there's all kinds of geopolitical things going on, and I think that people are widely there's consensus. Even among the banks like ABN AMRO and BNP Paribas, that the dollar is facing structural headwinds. The Fed is easing policy, right? They're basically buying treasuries. I think they started buying at about 50 billion a month in December. That is increasing the supply of the dollar and basically weakening the dollar. And so precious metals is. They're very they're benefiting, right? We hit huge prices with gold and silver, and usually risk on assets like Bitcoin, scarce assets that are not tied to governments follow. And so I think we are, there's a case for Bitcoin this year because of that, but also because we probably are going to have a Fed chair that's going to be more easy on policy, and also we are. At the same time, we're going to have regulatory clarity or additional regulatory clarity this year. So,
Now, can I jump into that phrase? Because I think you're being so professionally polite. I really do. I think your manners are
as
exemplary.
always.
But from my perspective, a layman's perspective, and I'm mad about this, I think the SEC has been corrupt. They favor other interests, and they've done everything in their power they can do to limit crypto. And now we've got a changing of the guard, and it's about to turn. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. The SEC, under Gary Gensler, was very anti-crypto, and that changed with Paul Atkins. And we have a favorable administration. Donald Trump was always for crypto, and he reiterated, as you said, in the World Economic Forum just yesterday. And so, but it takes time, for things to improve. And the administration's been in effect for a year. And I do think the tide is going to turn. But yes, us in the crypto industry, we've been, upset for a while, for what, how, the government, the previous administration handled crypto. But, I think that kind of wore off for me because it's already been a year, of more favorable administration.
I'm going to ask you another question related to this. And I have a purpose behind, and I'll tell you the purpose up front. The corporate debt to GDP is 110%, and that's disastrous. Okay. And what I'm wondering is, are you seeing corporations jumping into the crypto realm?
Yeah.
I think you see where I'm going with this.
I mean, the crypto has been definitely increasing for institutions. ETFs, I think last year had inflows above 100 billion, which is huge. It broke records. The ETFs have only been around for just over a year, I think. So we're seeing records in terms of institutional adoption. But yeah, the debt overall is obviously growing faster than GDP, even without the interest payments, right? And so we're on an unsustainable path, as you know, and real interest rates are now declining. So yeah, this is all good for crypto.
Well, president's onshoring, good for business. And if corporations are looking at crypto, when crypto finally hits its stride, we'll get to that in a little while. When crypto hits its stride, corporations boom, and then that corporate debt to GDP is going to go down dramatically, and I think even favor the corporations. And I think this is a turning of the guard. And Trump needs to do this because if he doesn't, the midterms are in question, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, crypto is definitely popular among the people, and so part of it is political. But he made a promise, during his election, that he would be good for the crypto industry. So he usually does keep his promises. Say what you
He
want
does.
about him, but yeah, so he's following through, I think.
So that kind of answered my question about institutional adoption. Do you have any kind of notion figures, higher percentages jumping in from corporations? Do you have any idea how big it is?
So I know I have some data, like on-chain data from CryptoQuant. It shows institutional wallets holding between 100 and 1,000 Bitcoin added 577,000 Bitcoins over the past year. So that's a 33% increase in 2 years. And more tellingly, corporate treasuries now hold 1.1 million Bitcoin, and that's up 30% in 6 months. And as I was saying before, ETFs recorded approximately 1.2 billion in net inflows in the first week of January alone, which is pretty huge. Bitcoin is consolidating rather than retreating, in essence. And so those are some of the statistics I have here. We have total Bitcoin ETF assets now exceeding 128 billion.
You know, I don't work in the industry. I think I'm fairly familiar with it, but I'm going to ask you an ignorant layman man's question. Okay, do you think it's possible that the dollar one day could be backed by crypto?
I don't know if it would just be backed by crypto, right? I think it would be a combination of assets,
I
right?
agree.
And but right now, I mean, as it stands right now, we would have a long way to go because the crypto market cap is still relatively small compared to other assets like gold, right? We're talking about, I think it's around 3 trillion right now, but it still has a ways to grow.
That's true. And gold's done very well this year. But I think silver's out of play. I mean, China's stopped its exports. We're mining 50% less than the world needs. And China has a monopoly, which is why Greenland's so ultimately important. Because if we acquire any access to mineral rights in Greenland, even if we don't own Greenland, it's going to drive the futures market. And that's going to really help. So, I mean, I totally agree with what you just said. It's going to be a basket of things backing the dollar. So if one thing falters, you still got the safety valve.
Exactly. I think it's we always preach at My Digital Money diversification, right? So we're not saying go all in on Bitcoin or crypto, but we're saying definitely use it, especially as part of the portfolio to help you grow. And I still believe in it also having precious metals to kind of add stability to your portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that frustrates me, and I go back to the Gary Gensler SEC nonsense with crypto, but what's the state today of crypto regulation? I mean, Trump has given stamp of approval, but are we seeing anything finite or concrete that's lessening restrictions and helping the market?
Yeah, so there's three moving pieces. First, there's the Genius Act, which became law in June 2025. That's the stablecoin regulation, which requires full dollar backing and audits for issuers above 50 billion in market cap. But the law takes effect in 2027, so even though it passed, it still hasn't fully taken effect. It's either January 2027 or 120 days after final regulations are issued. That means we have some time, and it's also second, as the broader crypto market structure legislation continues to advance through Congress. So that's it's called the Market Structures Bill, which aims to give clarity on crypto assets, whether they should be
Okay.
governed as securities or commodities, and who should govern them. And that has encountered some turbulence lately. There's been some disagreements, and so even though it made it through the Senate last year, there's still ways to go, and some people think it'll pass by the summer, but there's a chance it'll be delayed further. But I think that's the biggest one that's on the table right now. I think the latest thing that happened a couple of days ago is Coinbase withdrew from the bill, and so now it's kind of back to a vote. Because there's something around yields. The banks don't want there to be yields on stable coins, of course, right? They want to keep all the yields to themselves. And
Yeah, but a new Fed chair, that could be different, couldn't it?
yeah, that could help. But yeah, so that's kind of, there's a bunch of debates, a bunch of sticking points right now, around the bill. So we have a little bit of ways to go to get it back to bipartisan support where it was last year. But yeah, I think we'll get there.
When you say securities and commodities, there's going to be people in my audience that won't understand or appreciate the difference. Could you briefly explain that in layman's terms?
I'll try my best. I mean, commodities are, kind of like, like gold and, farm products, and it's governed by the CFTC, whereas securities are like stocks, right? Which is governed by the SEC, of course. So, those are the main differences, who's governing them, right? And how strict the rules are. And, we want crypto to be seen as a commodity, just because, there's less regulation that way, or less strict. But yeah, that's the best way I guess I can explain it, right?
Yeah, well, another thing occurred to me as you were explaining this. Does crypto lose some measure of independence if it's ever used as a partial backing instrument for the dollar?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Okay, so crypto is the attractive thing about crypto, it's independent of governments for the most part. Okay. Is some of that independence compromised if it's ever used as a backing agent for the US dollar in combination with other things?
I don't think so. I'm not an economist, but I think it's always going to be independent because, no one can freeze it or control it. But I think it could be influenced, if there's like a, one player that owns more than any other player. But, I don't see that, risk as being very high,
Okay.
just because, adoption continues, all around with, retail and institutions. So
Okay, here's my disaster scenario. The economy, because the dollar goes into free fall, and then you've got crypto. Can crypto remain independent of that? First part of the question. And the second part of the question, if so, how would people redeem crypto, or how would they use it in the midst of
Dave,
a
I'm sorry, you
pandemic?
broke up.
Oh,
Something's wrong with my connection. Can you start the question again?
yeah, sure. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay. So if you have an economic fallout and the dollar's collapsing, okay, and inflation's out of control for whatever reason, and crypto's independent, can it stay independent of that and still produce gains for people in the midst of a catastrophe? And if so, how would people redeem crypto in something usable for their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's when it thrives, right? During economic
Yeah.
collapse, especially. So that's what it's there for. And as time goes on, there's more and more merchants and entities are accepting crypto, right? And so by the time that happens, hopefully, people accept crypto directly. And so you could just go ahead and purchase things with crypto, and you could already do that,
That's true.
in a lot of different ways. But yeah, I think that, if there's gold, for example, you would be able to, redeem it for gold. You probably wouldn't want to redeem it for dollars because it would be worthless, but I'm sure that you could redeem it for gold. And you would, most people are going to have a crypto wallet, so you could transfer directly, right? You don't need to go through any institution. You can transfer it directly to someone else's wallet.
Okay, now I have a practical application. I just read the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos that has to start this Sunday in the AFC playoff championship game, and he makes $12 million a year. Now, I remember a few years back, some NFL player, I forget his name, took his entire salary in crypto. Okay? Well, here's what I'm wondering. Why the heck don't they do it in anything but the dollar that's appreciating? Crypto is going to appreciate like crazy. Gold's appreciating. Why don't people do more of that, in your opinion?
More of taking their salary in crypto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, we're still early on, and people are risk averse. So It's still seen, as
Okay.
a risky asset and volatile, right? And so it to me, it would make sense that people would take some of their salary in crypto, but maybe they would take the rest in gold. I don't know,
Wow, that's interesting.
but yeah, I think that there's still some volatility, and it's but we're on the way for it to become. I mean, it's not as volatile as it used to be, so it's already stabilizing.
See, I like that basket of same as backing the dollar with what you just
Yeah,
said.
exactly.
Take it
Yeah,
in
there's still risk,
multiple.
right? Let's get
Yeah.
real. I bet, but that's why it can grow very fast, right? As well. So,
That's brilliant. So I take a little crypto, take a little gold, hopefully I can get some silver and maybe some annuities.
yeah, and the thing is also that it depends on what your salary is, right? But like if you have a salary where a lot of it is going to your day-to-day spending, then it's harder to take your salary in a
Sure.
volatile asset, right? Because if the price crashes suddenly, then and you need to pay your rent, you're losing, right? But for long term, and which is what we focus on in My Digital Money, it makes complete sense because we know it's going to go up over time, right? Over 5 years, it's outperformed, any other asset. And so, if you're looking at long term retirement, then it makes complete sense to whatever you don't need to spend today to convert to crypto,
Exactly.
right? Now, if you're the
Discretionary
NFL
spending.
player, you probably have a lot of disposable income, then you don't mind, taking it in crypto, right? Because you don't need to use it tomorrow.
That's true. So you could take maybe the first year of your salary in dollars and take the next part of it in crypto, and the third year you might take gold.
Yeah. And
That's
hopefully do an IRA, right? Do an IRA with My
there you
Digital
go.
Money.
Yeah, exactly, for retirement. And the fact is, the thing I like about that is the IRA is independent of the bank, and if the bank fails, they can't enact Dodd-Frank 2010 and keep it. So
Exactly.
I
Yeah,
like
it's
that
the
too.
last, it would be the last asset to be, taken, I think so, or
Yeah,
seized.
I agree. Well, under this president, J.D. Vance, I don't worry about that. But what follows after that, then I think we got to be planning for that. Okay, another question I have here too, the difference between tokenization of stocks. Okay, and then you got these recent developments in NASDAQ and the stock exchange where they're tokenizing trading initiatives to reflect this trend. What, just general question, what's going on with tokenization and why should the average person care?
Yeah, so it's always hard to explain. Let me see how I can explain this. So tokenization, essentially, it's the process of representing some real world physical asset, or let's say, let's give the example of traditional equities as digital tokens on a blockchain. So it essentially represents ownership in something, right? So they mirror the price of economic rights of the real world security, while leveraging blockchain features like fractional ownership, programmable settlement, and digital transferability. So instead of a share being, let's say a paper or electronic record in a centralized database, it's a token on a distributed ledger that can be traded on chain. So it's not going through a centralized party, right? And the recent developments this month that are very notable is that the New York Stock Exchange is developing a dedicated platform to trade and settle tokenized stocks and ETFs 24/7, and NASDAQ is doing the same as well. That just came out, and so that would essentially allow you to trade beyond the normal hours. You could trade 24/7, which is huge, right? And you can also do fractional ownership. And I think we've talked in the past about real estate being on chain.
Yeah, yeah.
You can represent a house on chain, so the ownership is not, logged by some third party, right? It's more on chain, right? It's decentralized, and so you can buy even a fraction of a house, right? And so that has a lot of advantages, and aside from it just being more efficient to transact, right? I mean, we've all, hopefully you've bought a house before, and you know that it's, a pain in the butt, to go through a transaction. So it just makes it much easier, right, to buy and sell real world assets on the blockchain.
That's phenomenal because here's what I'm also thinking. When I was very young, someone much wiser than me talked me into doing a limited partnership to buy real estate, and it ended up being very productive. And I'm just thinking, what you just described really has application to that kind of concept.
Yeah, that you can apply it to many, many things, right? And I've always said it's going to take a while. Like for example, the DMV, I think we should have my car's title on the blockchain, Right. And then I don't have to stand in line forever and at the DMV. But
Amen to that.
yeah, but it's really happening with stocks, right? With kind of securities and traditional financial assets. So it's basically bridging traditional finance with crypto, which is exciting. It's happening, faster than we think.
Yeah, we're going through a revolutionary period in so many different things. And that's why I like doing shows like this so people can stay on top of things. Our goal is healthy, wealthy, and wise. And I'm hopeful that people have taken from this and saying, crypto is somewhere that I need to be. And Guy, I'll tell you, we talked about this for going on air. I really believe for a variety of reasons, I don't think we need to get into because of the complexity, that crypto is being held down artificially, but it's ready to explode. And Trump's recent comments are going to help push that too. With his support he offered to crypto at the World Economic Forum. I think this is an ideal time to get in. So let's talk about your organization at My Digital Money.
Yeah, so basically what we do is we allow you to buy and sell crypto on our platform, easy to use. You can do it, in an IRA, which means you have the tax advantages. So you could do traditional, or you could do a Roth IRA. So you don't have to worry every year, and then you can sell and then buy again when the market is down, and basically have compound growth. And you can also just buy using cash as well. In one place. And we don't just offer crypto, we also offer metals, but it's fractional metals. So, you can buy even a small amount of gold, and it's backed by real gold as well. And so you can have all that in one portfolio. And it's easy to use. We have people in the US you can talk to on the phone. So if you have any questions, we're here to answer, which is.
I'm going to get this down to, can we give out that number? And
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
people can go to mydigitalmoney.com, but what's the phone number?
Yeah, it's 833-636-2008.
Yeah, we talked about that number before. You've got a sense of humor.
Yeah,
Two zero
exactly.
zero eight. Okay. And of course you can always go to just mydigitalmoney.com and you guys pride yourselves on no pressure, just information, and we'll tell you
Exactly.
what we think, and then you get to make the choice. So I think it's absolutely fantastic. Do you store it for people?
Yeah, so it's stored with our custodian, Equity Trust, that's been around since 1974, since as long as an IRA has been around. And it's stored in cold storage. So that's one of the differentiators here is that, a lot of exchanges, they have it both on cold and hot, but a lot of times on hot wallets, which means it's open to hacks. We keep it in cold storage because we're focusing on long term. People on our platform are not buying and selling every single day, like day trading. They tend to like keep it there longer term, so we're able to put it in cold storage, and have it be more protected.
Well, yeah, you're not watching the stock market. And this is what I think a lot of people don't know. With crypto, you got to put up with some ups and downs, but know the upward trend is really the dominant one. And the same thing is really true with gold. I mean, it's not something that you're changing in and out. Like, I'm friends with Bob Kudlin. He's got a unique trading for stock and he's really good at it. But they move every 2 to 3 days on a trade. You
Yep.
know, that would be insane to do that on what you guys are doing with crypto and also even for precious metals.
Yeah, and with precious metals, you have to, mail it in, and that's the other beautiful thing about fractional metals is that it settles within one day for us, so you don't have to wait, for gold to ship and all that. So, but yes, we don't focus on day trading as much.
That's right. You have instant trans you have instant transactions. It's, duh, compared to precious metals. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I mean, some people want to hold it, and I understand that, but yeah, there's advantages both ways to do it both ways.
That's fantastic stuff. Okay, so let me go back over contact information because I know some of you here say, I got to find out more about this, and you're not going to get any pressure. You call 833-636 2008. That's 833-636-2008. Or you can go to mydigitalmoney.com, look around. Like, I know they got a play account. It's pretty cool. You get to
Yep.
play the game with crypto and you'll see how it works for yourself. So I think this is something people ought to look at because folks, I don't know about the dollar, but I do know that crypto, gold, and silver are moving forward. And this is something I think we need to be forward looking. Guy, it's always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Really
Thank you
good
very much.
information. I appreciate it. And I look forward to having you back.
Same here. Have a good one, Dave.
Take care.